Let's pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we love you so, so much. You are so good to us. We come to you as your children, knowing that we are the apple of your eye, knowing that you have desired to pour out lavishly your faithfulness upon us. Lord, we know that whatever we pray for in your name, it is because you have initiated that prayer and you are more than happy to fulfill it. God, we pray right now something that we know to be your heart because it is your word. We pray that you speak to your children, that you give us insight into who you are. We know, as the scripture tells us, no one can know another person unless that person chooses to reveal themselves. And so we know we cannot, no matter how we plumb the depths of scripture, we cannot know you unless you, through your scriptures and by your spirit, reveal yourself to us. We ask you, O God, to simply open your arms and embrace us. Draw us into your heart and cause us to know your name. Lord, we know that you are good and that you are gracious, but we want to know the depths of your goodness. We want to know the depths of your grace. We want to enjoy the journey that is eternity by growing closer and closer and ever closer to the infinite, the glorious, the wonderful, the true, the righteous God of heaven and earth. We bow our hearts before you, O Jesus. We gladly bow our hearts. We bend our knee. What a glorious Savior. What a mighty God. Let his name be praised among the nations. Let men and women know once again that there is such an one as God. Let his praise ring from sea to sea. Let everybody give praise to him. Let every voice acknowledge him. Let everything that has breath praise the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorious once again in the earth. Let your truth ring forth once again, O Jesus. Let it be known that God is still God, that his name is still glorious, that his praise is still worthy, that his truth still marches on. Let the name of Jesus be lifted up high against every power, against every principality, against every name that can be named. Let it be known that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Let every knee bow. Let every tongue confess on the earth, in the heavens, under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. What a glorious Savior. What a mighty God. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory. Hallelujah. The Lord is worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Let his praise go forth throughout all the earth. Let men and women know that there is such an one as God. In the book of Acts, the first chapter, beginning at the fourth verse, the Bible talks about Jesus after his resurrection, before his ascension to the right hand of the Father, spoke to the disciples and apostles for about 40 days. So 10 days before Pentecost, 40 days after Passover, he's speaking to them, as the Bible says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, Jesus is simply reiterating a promise that God had made to Abraham many, many days prior. He had spoken that Abraham would be a blessing to the nations, and that Abraham's children would be a blessing to the nations. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that the children of faith are the children of Abraham. And so the promise is this, that those people who put their faith in God would be a blessing to the nations. And it doesn't matter what state the nations happen to be in. It doesn't matter if the world is conducive to the spread of the gospel or if the world is striving against the spread of the gospel. God's people would be a blessing to the nations. And this is how this would be accomplished. We would receive the Holy Spirit. And so the prophets all throughout the Old Covenant spoke about the time when God's word would be written on the hearts of men and women rather than on tablets of stone, and that our hearts would be changed, and that we would be given a new spirit, that we would be made a new people, and these new people would begin to pour out, if you will, into the lives of other people. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit, and then he immerses us in that same spirit so that we could be both the people of God and the witnesses to God, so that we can not only be changed, but that we can make a difference in the world. So that when Jesus said to them, "You shall be my martyrs, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea," but he didn't stop there. He also began to say Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. He was talking about two works of the Spirit. One, an internal work that would change a people's mind about Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. A people who had believed that God had only something to say to Jerusalem and Judea. In order for them to go out, God had to first go in. And God had to make some changes in the way they felt about other people. And then he would be able to send them out, which was the second work. The first work was that internal change that had to happen. The second work was that outpouring that would begin to spill out into the generations. And now we remind ourselves that when Jesus comes to the children of Israel, particularly now as he's speaking to the 11 apostles, because Judas had already fallen and they hadn't yet chosen Matthias, when he was speaking to them, he reminded them of a promise. Now, you have to remind yourself that they had done what we would have done under those same circumstances. They had run from the promise. Because when Jesus was crucified, they recognized the danger that was on their life. When they saw how the world looked at Jesus, when they saw how the world treated Jesus, it made them afraid, because if they did this in a green tree, imagine what they're going to do in a dry. If they did this to him, even Jesus said that no servant is better than his master, no student better than his teacher. If they are doing this to me, imagine what they're going to do to you. And so when we look at the world and we see its response to the holy God, we see its response to that glorious Savior, we recognize its rejection of Christ, and we recognize its vitriol against his name and against his character, its hatred against his person. It sometimes wants to draw us back, or draw us into a corner, or draw us into the shadows, or draw us into the woodworks. And this is what happened with the disciples initially. They knew that Christ had risen. There was no question in their mind about that. They knew that he was Savior. No question in their mind about that. But they also knew that he was outlaw. So even after they had scattered initially with the crucifixion, when he revealed himself after the resurrection, they still went back fishing, having seen the resurrected Savior. And so likewise with us as Christians, sometimes we know for certain that he died for our sins. And we know for certain that he rose from the grave. And we know for certain that he is Lord of all. But we still live in this world, and it can still sometimes be an intimidating place. And so every now and again, what happens is the Lord will walk with us and talk with us and remind us of the promise that is on our lives. And this is what he did with them. For 40 days, he spoke of the promise, spoke of the kingdom, reminded them of, as our pastor said this morning, reminded them of who they were in Christ. Remember Peter, whenever he denied knowing the Lord, he didn't deny that Jesus was Jesus. That's what Judas did. No, Peter denied that Peter was Peter. He went back to being Simon, forgot that his name had been made Peter, forgot that God had called him a rock, forgot that God said that he would be one who opens the kingdom of heaven, forgotten that God said to him that the gates of hell will not prevail. He had forgotten who he was. And as a result, he denied his knowledge of who the Lord was. But God got him back and said, remember the promise that I made over your life. Remember that I told you that your name is Peter. And so the Lord does that with us. He walked with them those days that he needed to walk with them. He walks with us every now and again when we get a little tired. We become a little bit afraid. We become a bit intimidated by the society. We become a bit intimidated by the news headlines. And God will simply walk with us again and remind us of the fact that he has changed our name, that he's called us by his own name, that he's given us his signet ring, that we can speak on his behalf, that he has filled us with the Spirit so that we might be martyrs in this generation. The Holy Spirit is always trying to do two things in us. As we mentioned, he's trying to do a work in, and he's then trying to do a work out. The Bible says very clearly, let your salvation, in other words, let this wonderful thing that God has done in you have its outworkings. Why? Because it is God who is working in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. That is, he gives us the right desires, he gives us the proper ability, and he gives us sound motives to will and to do for his good pleasure. So he makes it possible for us to go out and do what he said we were going to do. But the Bible says the Spirit will come upon us and make us martyrs. So at first, Jesus breathes on his disciples and they receive life. But now when the Spirit fills them, they are ready to lay that life down. So the Spirit is teaching us two things all the time. He's teaching us how to live and he's teaching us how to die. He's teaching us what life is all about, and he's given us a martyr's crown. And what we are asked to do in this generation is to bear witness to the fact that God made a promise and God will keep that promise. His promise is that we would be a blessing to the nations, that we would be willing to lay our lives down for men and women. Whenever we talk about the fact of grabbing this promise that God made and appropriating the promise that God made and all these wonderful things that you might hear on various television shows or radio shows, remind yourself of something. The promises of God suggest that we would be empowered with the grace to be martyrs in this generation. So when we say, God, fill me with the Spirit, when we say, God, fulfill your promises in me, what we're saying is, God, give me the grace to lay my life down. Basically, whenever you see men and women being filled with the Spirit in the book of Acts, it's because they had just gone through some difficult time. They had just gone through some struggle. And now they're saying, God, we just got beaten. We were just imprisoned. We were just ridiculed. We were just mocked. But we don't want to stop. We want to continue to do what God has called us to do. We want to continue to speak his word. We want to go forth even more. We want to go deeper. We want to go harder. We do not want to stop. Give us the grace necessary. And all of a sudden, boom, the room is shaken. And again, they are filled with the Spirit. Because when people choose to reach out to other people, when they choose to make a difference in this generation, when they choose to appropriate the promise of God that suggests that they would be a blessing to the nations, then they are filled with the Spirit of God. And they go forth speaking these words of God. And they go forth laying down their lives on this level or on that level or on the other level, whatever God calls calls them to do, they find themselves able to do it in ways that they could never have done before. As we heard our pastor say this morning, doing things you could never do and being what you could never be and saying what you could never say and living how you could never live, because this is what the Spirit gives us the power to do, because he said that we will be a blessing to the nations. And so the Lord comes with this promise. The content of the promise, I want to suggest to you, is that we would be a blessing to the nations. That we would not be intimidated, that we would not be overwhelmed, that we would not be turned back, that we would not be turned away, we would not be turned around. We have a word from the great and the holy God, and we will speak that message. And there is nothing that the enemy can do. There is nothing that the flesh can do. There is nothing that the world can say. There is a thing that God has invested in us, a promise that God has made upon us. And that promise will be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled in this generation too. The baton has been passed to us in this generation. And we read about all of those who have gone before us. And they never dropped the baton. They passed it from generation to generation, and now it's in our hands. We're not going to drop it either. And we will pass it to the next generation. Amen. The content, we would be a blessing. The climate of the covenant promise. When God first spoke to Abraham, there was barrenness. Barrenness all around him. He was barren. His wife was barren. There was nothing but wilderness around him. God had taken him from a place of plenty, a place that would have substantiated the idea that he will one day be a powerful man. Took him from all of that and brought him to a place where he had no strength in himself, no power to do anything. And in that climate, God made the promise. Under those circumstances, you might think to yourself, I'm the least likely person that God should make a promise to. If you are the least likely person that God should make a promise to, then you are the most likely person that God should make a promise to. That person who's barren, that person who knows they have nothing, that person who realizes I can't do anything, I have no strength in myself, I have no power, who acknowledges I can't move without God. I dare not speak without God. I have no courage. I have no love for people in the natural sense of the word. I have no kindness inherent to myself. But if God moves upon me, gives me strength, gives me courage, gives me love, gives me kindness, gives me patience, gives me a sense of justice and godly judgment, then I can do whatever God has asked me to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I can do nothing of my own strength. That's the kind of climate that God likes to speak in. The content, you will be a blessing. The climate, barrenness. And then, of course, there is the cross. Because no promise from God can be appropriated except through the cross. Every promise God makes, he makes through his Son. That's why the Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So all of God's promises are found in Christ. And every person who is found in Christ is therefore able to appropriate the promises that are found only in Christ. When we recognize the cross of Jesus as the means by which God is able to fulfill his promises, the means by which God is able to make his promises, the means by which we are able to appropriate the promises, the means by which we're able to appropriate the promises and still maintain a heart of humility and of brokenness. When we see what those promises cost, when we recognize what God was willing to do to make those promises real to us, the price he was willing to pay so that the promises could come to us. Remind yourself, as I'm sure you already know, there is nothing free about grace. It's free to us, but somebody bought it. Jesus paid the ultimate price for true grace. And all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to, as we've said before, make a whole bunch of promises to God, talking about how we're going to be a blessing to the nations, vowing to do this and vowing to do that. And if I can just get it right, then I'll be a blessing. And if I can just do this, then I'll be a blessing. Unless we haven't read the Bible, unless we forgot that God uses imperfect beings to cause his perfect will to be manifest, unless we've not read any of that, unless we've not looked at our own life and realized how well-meaning but how empty our promises are, unless none of those things are in effect, then yeah, we can easily make vows to God. But if those things are in effect, then everything in us says, God has made the promises. And God can't lie. He promises by his own name and by his own character. He sends his only son so as to cause the promises to be invested in him first. And his son fulfills all of the requirements so that God's promises could be made manifest. Then after giving us his son, he gives us his spirit so that everything that's in Christ might be given to us according to God's wisdom and God's timing by the indwelling presence. So that instead of us making vows to God, deep just calls unto deep. And God the Spirit and God the Son are going back and forth. And God the Son is being formed in us by the Spirit. And God the Spirit is helping us to see the Son and to appropriate his promises. And we are becoming more and more manifestations of the Father's covenant faithfulness as we allow the promises of God through Jesus Christ to be made manifest in us by the indwelling presence. All of a sudden, we begin to live in those promises. Instead of making God a whole lot of promises, we begin to live out his promises. And people begin to see that God is faithful to his word. And when God says, I'm going to make a people a blessing to the nations, he fulfills that promise. And that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. So we talked about the content and the covenant promise. We talked about the climate of the covenant promise, the cross, and the covenant promise. But there's also a construct of the covenant promise, and it's apart from the Holy Scriptures. Back in those days, it was called the Messianic Hope, where people decided, I tell you what, I know what God should have promised, and I know how God should have fulfilled it. Or they say God is just not moving fast enough. God is just not doing it in a way that is relevant to the real world. So let me help God a little bit. Let me reframe some of his promises. Let me rephrase some of his words. Let me cause my traditions to stand where Revelation used to stand, and so on and so forth. Let me cause an Isaac to stand where an Ishmael to stand where Isaac should have stood, and so on and so forth. And brothers and sisters, remind yourself of something. That's at least a propensity in all of us. When God doesn't move just quick enough, we construct a promise. And usually when we construct the promise, it's something based on what we see as a perceived need right in front of us. But God always sees the greater issues. God always sees the greater need. And so we have got to allow the Holy Scriptures, as it is held in the hand of the Holy Spirit, to frame a mindset of who God is and what God is like and what God has done and what God is doing and what God has promised to do, so that we don't override God with what we perceive to be the actual need. We have to be a Bible people, in other words, and allow the Holy Scriptures to construct in our hearts and in our minds what God has promised. If we do that, then we will pray in the name of Jesus. And when you and I pray in the name of Jesus, according to what the Bible says, he will always do it. What does that mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It means to pray according to his revealed character and pray by his power and pray for his motives. That all happens because of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who reads the Bible to us so that we don't have to read it on our own, and tells us this is what God has said to you and this is what God has desired for you. And it's God who begins to initiate those kinds of prayers. We heard this morning about praying in the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit causes us to pray, when he stirs up these prayers in us that are in line with who God is, the other option is that we construct this idea of what Messiah would be like if he looked like us. But we thank God the Holy Spirit is conforming us to the image of Christ, not the other way around. And so we allow ourselves to recognize the construct and the covenant. As a result of a construct, there's oftentimes confusion, there's conflict, there's chaos, there's crisis. And we want to be spared all of that. And what we want to focus on is this continuity. Continuity basically says from generation to generation, there's one truth, there's one Savior, there's one God, there's one hope, there's one baptism, there's one church, there's one covenant promise. And it is that covenant promise, the true covenant promise. Even in the days of old, even in the old covenant, they lived on this promise. They looked forward to this promise. They prophesied about this promise. They prayed for this promise. This has always been the heart of God, that God's people should be a blessing to the nations, not an isolated community, as some churches have become, where we basically lock our doors and say to people, even in the midst of floods, sorry, we just don't have any room for you. We have something to say to this generation. We have something to give to this world, and God has made us a people who pour out. Remember the difference if you look at the 11th chapter and the 12th chapter of Genesis. In the 11th chapter, you have the Tower of Babel. And everything that they're saying is, let's build ourselves a nice big place and let's reach up to God in our own strength and let's lock ourselves in so that we won't be scattered among the people and let's make a great name for ourselves. And on the other side, you hear God saying to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. I will make you a blessing among the nations. All the time we recognize that when God is moving in a person's life, there is a promise upon their life where they don't have to do anything in their own strength. They don't have to make themselves out to be anybody. God will give you a name. God will give you strength. God will make you a blessing. I want to pray with you this afternoon, because there's a promise on your life, and I don't care what the devil has tried to tell you. There's a name that God has given you. He's called you by his own name. He sees his face in your face. You are the apple of his eye. You are the child of his promise. The Bible says he dances over you with singing. You are his sons and his daughters. And you are the hope of the nations. God is going to use you to save some lives. God is going to use you to change some minds. God is going to use you to give people a reason to open their hearts to God again. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be intimidated. God has a way of making a promise in a climate that seems to suggest that nothing is moving toward what he has spoken. You look at the headlines in our generation, and everything seems to be saying that God has been all but made unnecessary in our times. So that's a lie. There is something that God is doing in your life. Something that's going to change the course of this world. You know, I'll say this and I close. Every now and again, if you study history, see, we live in a world where people are very, very informed, but not very educated. So we hear about little things that are happening, but we don't see it in the whole context of world history. When you study history, one of the things you're going to recognize is that every now and again, whether it's a good person or it's an evil person, every now and again, somebody believes that they can change the world. And some do it for very, very good, and some do it for very, very evil. But God already told you that you can change the world because you're a son, you're a daughter of promise. Doesn't mean that everything in the world is going to change. All it means, it can be one soul taken from potential death to eternal life that offsets the balance of the entire universe. It offsets the balance of eternity. And you don't have to be that person that leads the person over the finish line. Just be a part of it. Lead them as far as you can take them and then hand them to another Christian. And they'll lead them as far as they can take them, and eventually this person's going to be over the finish line. But for you, understand this. And we're going to pray. Devil's lying to you and telling you that you don't matter. I know he's lying to you because he's lying to me, and I've been doing this for a long time. But it's a lie. Oh, you don't know how much you matter. You don't know how much you can contribute. I don't know how much I can contribute, even after being a part of this for a while. I still sense God saying to me, this is just the beginning. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that song, you know, I will live, I will not die. You know, I remember, because this is still my home church. You know that, right? You know, even when I'm away, I'm still always online. And, I want to give a shout of, what do you call it? I'm too old now, you know. A big up or whatever to folks that are online. And just reminding you, I'm part of the same online community. But I'm telling you what, there comes a time when you and I just know that God has something for us. Y'all was singing that song, I Will Live, I Will Not Die. I was laying in my bed. I was sick as anything. Y'all know that? But y'all talking to me. I was like, well, if you say so. You know what I mean? Because y'all were telling me, no, you ain't going to live. You're going to die. Brother, you're not going to die. You're going to live. And I'm, well, hopefully both, right? You know what I mean? On one level, I'm hoping I'm dying every day, you know? On another level, you know, hey, I got some more time. Listen, I ain't finished. But y'all told me that. You were singing your song and praising it and giving God glory. And you might have been going through the worst day of your life, but yet you were shouting it. I will not live. You know how it goes. I don't. I gotta get a copy of the lyrics, right? You know, but you understand what I'm saying? I mean, you were encouraging me. I'm laying there in that bed and I'm sick as a dog and I'm looking on my little computer and I'm watching y'all sing the songs, man. And it's like, you're pointing to me and saying, you will not die. You will not die. You will not die. You know what I mean? And I received it. Right? And all I'm saying is, that's what you're doing. Thousands of people all around the world, every Sunday, they're looking at you. They literally are looking at you. And you're saving people's lives. Do not believe the lie of the devil. The promise of God is being fulfilled in your life right now. So keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't let go. Hold on, hold on, hold on, because you're going to make a change. You're going to make a difference even more. Now, let's stand together, and I want to pray with you. Just going to pray really quickly, but I don't want to go too much longer because we want people to be able to be here for the Sunday night service. I heard it's going to be an awesome service tonight. There's going to be some testimonies, some songs, some praise. But tonight, right now, I just want anybody who's saying, bro, Will, I know the promises of God apply to me, but sometimes, like the disciples, I feel like going fishing. You understand? None of us are above that. None of us. There are times when we all feel like going fishing. And for them, going fishing meant going back to their old way, back to their old profession, not going into sin, but just saying, hey, maybe I'll shift down a little bit, shift gears a little bit. Maybe I won't be so, because every time I seem like I get into it, I just seem like I get attacked and this, that, and the other. And so, but you have to. You have to do what you do. Because people are dying. And they need you. They need you. I know I need you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here right now. You came out on the day when you probably didn't feel like coming out and you sang your song, even if you might not have felt like singing. And I was laying there on what could have been my deathbed. And I heard you. I heard you. God is using you. So if you just want to pray for a little bit. And say, I just want to be rid of any lie of the enemy. Because I know there's a promise on my life. Or you say, I've been making God a lot of promises lately and I feel like I've disappointed him. I don't want to make any more promises to God. I just want to appropriate all of the promises that he made to me through Jesus. Because all of his promises are yes and amen. I'm not going to promise to keep myself. I'm going to appropriate his promise that says, I will keep you. I will give you victory. But you just want to lay your head on his bosom for a minute or two. Then you come on down. Balcony, we will wait for you. No hurries. Main floor, you can begin to come now. If you're online, if you can stand, just stand in the presence of the Lord. Or bow your heart before him, whatever your posture might happen to be. We love you so gently, so tenderly. You are our sons and daughters, the Lord says to us, to all of us. We're his children. We're his babies. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us with a gentle and tender love. I can feel his love for you. Can you? Can you feel his love for you? Can you feel his love for the ones who are coming up? Can you lift your hearts and pray for them? Even as they're walking, just pray for them. God, give them victory. Give them victory over every lie, over every kind of lie the enemy would dare to tell. Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. God is with you. The hand of the Lord is with you. Believe me, it's worth the effort. I know sometimes it's hard to get out. It's hard. You don't want to disturb somebody, right? You know, you say, but listen, I don't care if you're right in the middle of the seating. Make your move. People will move for you. People will move for you because they want to see you get the victory. They want to see you grow closer to Christ. Balcony, you know the drill. You know how you got up there? Do the same thing backward. We wait for you. We love you. We love you so, so, so much. We will wait for you. Keep coming, y'all. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to come together in the name of the great and holy Savior. Amen. Take me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise your holy name. God, we count ourselves privileged to make mention of your name, to acknowledge that you are the great and the holy God. Lord, you could have chosen to be God and not reveal it to anyone. You would still be as glorious, as wonderful, as mighty, as majestic as you have been forever. Yet you chose to allow us to believe you. You chose to allow us to bless you, to praise you. You gave us the capacity to have faith in you, to live according to your grace, to acknowledge that you are faithful to your word, and to be recipients of your glorious promise. You chose to send your son that he might make a way for us so that we could not only walk in this life, but we could have this view of a eternity that suggests that forever and forever and forever we will rejoice in who you are and in one another. We thank you, God, that we are a part of a glorious family. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us a new name, that there is a new creation, your people, your sons and daughters who are framed according to your promise and who are molded according to the image of your son by the glorious indwelling presence by the true and righteous God who lives in us. Father, we thank you so much that we are the apple of your eye, that you rejoice over us with singing, that you have power to banish every lie of the devil and to cause every form of deception to bow down at your feet. God, in Jesus' name, we acknowledge the truth of who we are in you. We are your sons and your daughters. We are the apple of your eye. We are the song that you sing. We are those who for whom you died. We are your ambassadors in this generation. We are those who will bear witness to your glory forever and forever. What a glorious day that will be. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you praise. We acknowledge your great name. What a glorious God we serve. What a mighty Savior. What a blessed Jesus. Let it be known throughout the ages that there is such an one as God. Let it be known throughout the hearts of men and women that God still sits as King of the flood. That God still sits above the circle of the earth. That the heaven is still his throne, the earth still his footstool. Let it be known once again that there is such an one as God. Let his name be praised again. Let his glory be seen again. Let his church march on again. Let Jesus be glorified once again in this generation. You've given the baton into our hands, oh God, as a generation. We thank you for how well it's been carried. We thank you for our leaders, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Carter. We thank you for Pastor Teresa. We thank you how the grip that they have on your heart, on your word, on your truth has poured out into our lives. Thank you that we can march together, that we can fight together, that we can pray together, that we can preach together, that we can stand together, that we can glorify God together, that we can cause his praise to go forth together, that we can shake the world together. Hallelujah! 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 Give him praise, give him glory. Let it be known, let it be known, let it be known, let it be known, let it be known on the streets of Broadway that God still has a people and that his name is still glorious in the midst. We thank you, Jesus, and we bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.